Thank you again for being with us as we worship our way through the season of Lent. You know, as a minister, a lot of my life is spent in situations with individuals that are some of the most traumatic, the most difficult, life-changing, even sometimes life-ending situations. Because that's when people call a pastor in, when someone is on death's door, when someone is going to the hospital, when somebody is going through a tragic life transition, perhaps something horrible has happened, you call a pastor in. So I spend a lot of time talking with and interacting people with sometimes very, very difficult situations that they're facing. I'll never forget one particular situation. The family had called me in to speak to an elderly gentleman who was a member of the family. He was going through some significant health issues. Everybody knew he was going through significant health issues. Everyone could see that he was going through significant health issues. He could see that he was going through really, really bad health problems. But he refused to go see a doctor, and he refused to go to the hospital. And in fact, had not been to see a doctor or go to the hospital for decades. The family members called me and said he's being stubborn, he refuses to go, he doesn't want to engage with medical personnel of any sort on any level, and we really think at this stage his only hope is to go directly to an emergency room somewhere, get checked in, and get the help he needs. Can you speak to him? Of course, I'm the pastor, so I went and I spoke to him. I remember sitting down with him in his living room and saying, your family wants to understand why you don't want to go to the hospital. So he said to me, my father went to the hospital, my father died. My mother went to the hospital, my mother died. My wife went to the hospital, my wife died. Everyone I know who goes to the hospital dies. And if I go to the hospital, all they're going to do is tell me that this is wrong and that's wrong and this other thing's wrong, and that this isn't healthy, and that this is bad, and that I'm going to die too. So I just don't want to go to the hospital. And I remember saying to him, you understand that whether you go or not, whether they tell you or not, you're still going to suffer from the effects of what's wrong with you. The difference is you won't have any way of remediating it. You'll have no opportunity to change the outcome. You're simply going to die quicker, and you'll die in your home. I said to him, how old were your parents when they went to the hospital? How old was your dad when he went to the hospital? He said, my dad was 89. I said, how old was your mom when she went to the hospital? He said, my mom was 91. I said, did it ever dawn on you that going to the hospital in those circumstances might have had the exact same result as if they'd stayed home? Or maybe even they might have lived longer. I said, how often did they go to the doctor? He says, they never went to the doctor. I said, maybe if they'd have gotten help sooner when they did go to the hospital, they wouldn't have died. I said, there may come a day when you've put off dealing with what's wrong with you for so long that you have no choice but to call 911 and an ambulance will come to your house and they'll take you to the hospital. But if you've waited so long to deal with what's wrong with you, it may be too late. And you may be just another family member who goes to the hospital and dies. It's not the doctor's fault. It's your fault for not accepting the help and not being willing to hear someone tell you that you need help. He did go to the doctor. The doctor did find a lot of things wrong with him. He did get on medication. And he did, in fact, continue to live and get better. But that's human nature for you. We never want to hear the bad news, whether it's a doctor or an auto mechanic or, in the case of the passage that we have from the Bible, a prophet. We don't like it when people tell us what's wrong with us, even if we know there's something wrong with us, and especially if that person who's telling us what's wrong with us is actually offering to do something to fix what is wrong with us. There's this really strange human pride that does not want to accept help. and it really does not want to accept correction. So when Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and they are saying to him, you know, you might want to find a different place to do your ministry. King Herod is looking to get you. You had best run away. Now, historically speaking, what we know about Herod is he actually had very little interest in Jesus. And when Jesus is brought to Herod, he shrugs his shoulders and says, this guy isn't my problem, and sends him back to Pilate. So we have to assume that, first of all, the Pharisees are lying. Because, of course, we know Herod has no interest in Christ. But Jesus says to the Pharisees, because he knows they're trying to dissuade him from going to Jerusalem, you tell that fox, Herod, that I'm going to be doing this today, that tomorrow, this other thing the next day, and on the third day I will go to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem needs a prophet. And guess what? I know you're not going to like it. I know you're not going to like my message. To be perfectly frank, you've never liked any of the prophet's messages. And you're going to kill me, just like you did all the prophets before me. This is the amazing thing about God. He knows the stubborn creatures that we are. He knows the resistant creatures that we are. And yet he sent prophet after prophet after prophet. And yes, even his son, to speak to us the truth that we did not want to hear. Why? Because that's what a good doctor does. He continues to try to save his patient's life, even when the patient works actively against him. God wants to save humanity. So he sends Jesus Christ, who lives and dies for us. His death on a cross brought us to a place where we could stand before the throne of God, forgiven of our sins. God's word continues to speak to us, and we human beings, we still don't like what the great physician has to tell us. When God points out our flaws, our faults, our failings, we have all sorts of ways of deflecting that. We point at other people and say, oh, those people over there are worse, though. We justify or rationalize what we're doing. Well, you know, I might have done a bad thing, but it was for a good reason. Or we deny it. No, I don't think I'm wrong. I think I'm right. And I have all sorts of reasons why I think I'm right. No, humans don't like to be told by God when we are doing wrong. But here's the thing. When we come to God's word and it tells us, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, things that we either refuse to do or refuse to stop doing, God's not doing that because he's mean. He's not doing that because he's trying to be cruel. He's not doing that because he likes to shake a finger at us and make us feel guilty. He's doing it in an effort to save us from ourselves. The functional result of sin is death. Both total and complete death at the end of our lives and the little deaths we experience through our lives when sin robs us of the blessings that God would give us. So why does God want us to live a sinless life? Because he's loving. Because he wants the best for us. Because he wants us to stop inflicting punishment on ourselves. Because he knows that we need to come to the great physician. We need to stand before the throne of God and say, as Christ has saved me from my sin and given me this gift of eternal forgiveness, please, Father, let your Holy Spirit turn me in order that I might fully embrace your truth and deny my own truth. We human beings, we don't like to do that. We're worried that if we go to the great physician, he's going to tell us we have to cut out sugar and salt and fat and exercise and take medicine. Or at least the spiritual equivalent of those things, none of which we much appreciate, but deeply, deeply need. And so I say to you all, as much as we may look at the Pharisees in Jesus' story and say, those wicked Pharisees, they didn't want to hear Jesus' message, we need to understand that we behave the exact same way all the time. We behave like that man that I knew who didn't want to go to the hospital when we don't want to go to God's word. Like that man didn't want medicine, we don't want God's correction. Like that man didn't want to see an emergency room, we oftentimes don't want to see the throne room of God. But there is nothing in the world we need more, and nothing that is better for us.